Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Hey, everybody. This is the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where apparently Microsoft is onto us and has been sabotaging our episode for the past three versions.
This is episode 69.3.
Yes. The reason why you didn't get a show last week is because Skype crashed, like, in a ridiculous way. It literally took down my entire OS. I'm using Snow Leopard for any podcast recording. It was ugly. And the next time around, for some reason, it didn't record. And I know what some people are saying. Mark, you're Polish, so you might have not hit the button. No, I hit the button. I hit the button. So, anyway.
You verbalized it. We heard that.
Yes. So, anyway, I'm Mark Sadowski.
I am Matt Hoffman.
And I'm Joseph Ferreira.
And we're really sick of 69 right now.
You know what's awesome about this, though?
What's that?
Nobody has to know that I was late.
There you go. At least there's one serendipitous moment from this.
That's right.
I guess I just ruined that, though.
Nah, no. I'm sure the episode will crash in another way that'll ruin it. So you're all right. So anyway, last week we wanted to give you an episode where it was the review of the new iPhone and the new OS. So we're going to give the smashed down version of it, hopefully. Long story short, I actually waited in line for the iOS for the iPhone 5S, and Apple didn't have it. 15 minutes after the store opened, they said we were all out. We gave it all to China. And, well, they didn't say that, but I'm assuming that. So, and nobody has gold iPhones. So, I ended up buying mine from an AT&T store. So, that's the short version of it.
The moral of the story is don't go to Apple Store to get your new iPhone on opening day.
Yep.
Is that what they call it? They call it opening day? It's like,
I couldn't think of
it. It's like baseball, launch day. Trout fishing.
Yeah. I was thinking baseball.
You might as well use a sports analogy. I saw three people get arrested.
Nice.
Yeah, it was. I have no idea why, but you know, so you know, they did. But yeah, I after being disappointed in line, I went to my local AT&T store to buy a new iPhone. And I was expected to get the 64 gig from the AT&T store because that's what they normally have after launch. They have like the ones that people seldom buy. And it's usually the extremely high-end version. So I'm like, whatever. 64 gig, that's fine. I was going to get the 32 gig anyway. Turns out they only had the gray iPhone and 16 gig versions. Half the people in line, which was like four or five people, wanted the gold iPhone, which was astonishing. They didn't get it. They got the gray one instead. And I'm happy with mine. So, boom.
That's all that matters, right?
That's all that matters. I have an iPhone that has a very good battery life for now. And I'm sure I'll kill that somehow. And I sold my old iPhone to Gazelle, and I already got my money back.
Sweet.
Yeah. Cool. So that's pretty cool. So this episode, we are going to talk about our experience with the new OS and at least my experience with the new iPhone. So let's get right into it.
News team, assemble!
Long story short with the iPhone 5S, I'm really digging it. I'm really digging the speed. And let's not get into the butts. We'll butt it to death in just a moment. Overall, the camera to the iPhone is good. I really enjoy the speed in which it takes its take the pictures. Since I have two children that won't stay still for the life of them, the fact that burst mode actually is helpful in that situation is really good. The way it's able to do the digital stabilization is really, really helpful. So in that respect, everything is good. The only thing I have not tested out is the Flash, and I plan to do that this weekend because I am photographing a wedding this weekend. And what nice. Better place to test a Flash than in a darkly lit reception hall?
Nice.
So that will be the ultimate test. So that's all I really got for the good stuff.
I try not to flash people at weddings.
Yeah, I try not to. But during a reception, everybody's good and drunk, so no one's going to care. And they're already flashing everybody anyway.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. I got the joke. So that still happens. It's commonplace. That's why I didn't blink an eye. The video is really good. I really enjoy the video quality. And believe it or not, the 3x digital zoom for the video is actually pretty decent.
Really?
Yeah, I did that for my son's wedding. Yeah, my son's wedding. Oh, my God. Whew. Wow.
I That's hope awesome.
He's 1 year old and already married.
That's what I'm shooting for.
Just get it over with now. My son's 1 year birthday party, it came in handy, and it came in, it actually did a very good job recording. The quality was not shoddy on my big screen TV.
How do you like the image stabilization?
Awesome. Yeah, I like it. It's really good. They did a really good job with that. My nitpicky part, and we'll just start it right now because I have something that you guys don't have, is the slow motion video. On the surface, slow motion works pretty well. It's actually pretty cool. I had some fun with it with my daughter doing some fun stuff, jumping around. Here's my issue with slow motion. When you take the slow motion video, you only have one section that is allowed to be in slow motion, and you get to pick what section that is.
And how long?
You could stretch it out to be the whole thing or just one little section. But the thing is that there's only one section that's allowed to be slow motion. The other problem is that once you make your slow motion selection, there really isn't anything you can do with it unless you upload it to Vimeo or YouTube or your iCloud. Like, there's no way I can save it to my camera roll and have it just be, you know, be there and be done.
Really?
Yeah. Like the way I extract my my stuff is I will make my photos, make my videos. I'll plug it into my Mac, and then I will go into I forget which app it is, but I'll take it and put it into a folder. Image Capture is the app that I use on the Mac. It comes on all the Macs. It's free. It's basically your USB reader, kind of. And I'll extract everything from there. If you do an extraction, the slow motion will not be there. It will not be captured. The other thing that I have is an Apple TV. And when I try to play my slow motion video on my Apple TV, which has been recently updated, it will only play the audio and the video will only play on my iPhone. So it's kind of crap. I don't want to upload my stuff to YouTube. I don't want to upload it to freaking Vimeo. I don't want to upload it to iCloud. It's not cool. I don't like that part of it. So I think the slow motion is cool but lacking, long story short. So that's what I got.
Yeah, that sounds kind of frustrating. That would probably annoy me very quickly.
Yeah. So I've essentially just stopped using it. So that's really it that's the big difference between the camera and the iPhone 5S. So let's talk about iOS 7 in general. How have you guys fared with the device?
You start, Matt.
Matt, now let's just say you still have the iPhone 5, right?
I do, yes.
Okay, and Joe, you have the iPhone?
The 4S.
The 4S. Okay, so we got the whole range, basically.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I have a 4 for work, so I've got 4 of the 4S.
Yeah. And as the lines told me when the iPhone went on sale, no one cares about the iPhone 5C. So that's like sold to nothing. According to my records, which is inaccurate, but that's all I got.
I don't know. I think that's actually probably pretty accurate.
I know absolutely nobody who wanted that thing.
I have one friend that ended up getting it.
Yeah.
Only because her phone had died, and so she did pick it up. So I'll have to ask her how she likes it and what she thinks of it.
She'll probably say, this isn't the S?
No. She knew the difference.
Awesome. All right, so Matt, go for it. How are you digging the iPhone, the iOS 7 on your phone?
I'm digging it a lot, to tell you the truth. So I haven't really played too much with the camera, the native camera app, although that has been updated. I did check it out just, you know, to kind of see, I don't know, the different stuff or whatever. So with the camera app, I do like the way you can scroll from photo to video mode.
Yeah.
They've incorporated a square crop, so you could just shoot square. So if you're someone that pretty much just uploads to Instagram, that could be a pretty handy feature. And then there's the panoramic mode, which I don't use, but from what I hear, it works pretty well.
And oh, that's what I forgot to mention. The panoramic. I just took a panorama the other day. It's okay. Like, it's supposed to be able to adjust the exposure as you move along.
Yeah. I think that's a mistake.
It does it, but not as good as they claim it is. And I did a couple different versions, and it still came out a little bit overexposed. But I'm still playing around with it, so maybe that'll change. So,
just a quick little thing then about panoramic pictures. So I'll just clarify. I have nothing against the panorama feature on the native camera app. It's just that's not the way that I shoot panos.
Yeah.
Right. You stitch them together and do all that, right?
I do it in a insanely tedious manner, which basically involves shooting each frame as a HDR and then stitching them together with auto stitch.
Okay.
Which does a really awesome job, Mark, of balancing out the exposures.
Nice.
You know,
I got to re-download that.
Wait, which program do you use?
Auto Stitch.
And that's an app or a program on a computer?
No, it's an app.
Okay.
Yeah, we reviewed it a while ago. I still have it. I just need to put it back on my phone.
Yeah, it works really well. I've actually been shooting a lot of panos lately. I just haven't been sharing them because I do them all HDR, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
And I always try to do them handheld. And what ended up happening with the last two panos that I made was the photos that made up the center of the composition, the two pictures did not like line up properly.
Oh.
So there was just like this one little section of the pano that had some weird ghosting, and it was just enough to, I don't know, to me it was obvious. Maybe if I shared it, people wouldn't notice, but I noticed it right away once I stitched the pano together.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that sucks because I just spent 10 minutes taking all these photos. And so I don't know. I'm going to have to reevaluate my pano shooting.
Yeah.
So, but in any case, sorry, that was a tangent.
No, it's all good.
Back to iOS 7, so the camera. the camera app. The other thing I thought was kind of cool was the built-in filters. They're actually kind of nice. I probably won't use them very much since I don't use the camera app. But I don't think they're bad. And I like the way that you could, you know, basically turn them on live so you see what you're going to get as you're shooting.
That works for you too. The live view.
It does, yeah.
It's kind of interesting that it has, like, it lays them out in a grid, kind of. Does that do it for you? Or is it different?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to take a look.
When you have it on and you do choose, it has 9 different choices between the center one being the regular, and then you have chrome, fade, monotonal, neur, process, transfer, and instant. And they all show the same picture, and as you move it along, it's all done in live view.
Yeah. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think that's cool. You know, so you get instead of having to scroll through the filters, you could see them once and, you know, see which one you like best, you know, really quickly. So I think it's a nice feature. Also, I think the HDR mode in the camera app, I think it works really well. And it looks really realistic. It doesn't give like a weird, like, hyper real or grungy look to the photos.
Yeah, it's real subtle.
Yeah, it really looks good. I used it a couple times indoors last week, and mm-hmm. I was pretty surprised at how well the photos turned out. So I had basically an HDR and just a non-HDR in the camera roll and could swipe back and forth between the two to see the difference, and the difference was really big.
Yeah. I do like the HDR, and I always keep it on by default because it's always nice to have both versions, both the regular and the HDR.
Definitely.
Why not?
No, it's definitely cool. And then as far as other stuff that's photography related, you know, your camera roll, you know, is really different right now.
Yeah.
And I like it and I don't like it. It doesn't necessarily, depending on the view that you're looking at. So, basically your photos are stored in collections and you could kind of, pare it down, for lack of a better way to describe it. So you could see, your photos by year.
Yeah.
And then as you kind of dig into them, when you tap on your photos, then they're pretty much broken down kind of by date and location. And then you basically could just keep tapping on the photos and it'll pare it down more like by location. But I've noticed that – I'm not sure exactly why this is. I think it just has to do with because it wants to sort the photos also by date. It doesn't necessarily save your photos in order. And yeah. What I mean by that is, let's say I took a picture last week and I just get around to editing the picture today. So I'll make edits and then I'll save that edit. So I'll have the original and the edit. Well, it saves the edit right next to the original, but I might have to look, you know, to last week to find the picture that I just edited and saved.
Yeah, it's like that in iPhoto with the Mac.
So it's
I have that. I have that when I do Squarity to post to Instagram. Like I'll have the different images and as I progress along, and then what it does instead of doing the Squarity image, the square one. At the end, it just puts it just behind the last version that I did. And I thought that was weird.
Yeah, it's not like super annoying. I'm getting used to it. I kind of know now where I should look for a photo, but I just thought it was odd.
Yeah.
You know, it's because I'm just used to saving a picture and then you go into your camera roll and it's the first picture.
I actually have one more gripe about everything here. I don't know if this is happening on your phone. I didn't really notice it much on the 4S, and I think it's because of the aspect ratio, but I don't like the way the iPhone wants to fill in the space on the iPhone 5S.
What do you mean?
Well, for example, I'm looking at a photo right now, and it's a photo of my cat, and it's taking up the whole screen, right? But what's actually happening is it's zooming in just so it can fill in the space.
Oh, yes.
So you have to pinch it down to see the whole picture. Now, the photo of the cat's no problem, but when I have like a group photo, it starts cutting off heads. It starts like...
No, it does that. It does that with the 4S too.
But not as bad because it was already...
Well, you got a longer screen.
Exactly. So it's not cutting it as much.
Right.
So there are some photos that I take that take up the whole space and it starts...
You're like, dang it, I just cut his head off. What was I thinking?
Yeah.
And then you pinch it and you're like, oh, no, I didn't.
So...
Yeah, it does that with the 4S also.
But not as bad is what I'm getting at. And I've tried to find a way to turn that off, but I can't find it. So...
I haven't really noticed that, but I suppose maybe that's sort of... I don't know. It hasn't been an issue for me, I guess.
Well, the images are cropped at a 4x6 crop factor, or actually it would be two if you were going to go in and edit, it'd be a 2x3, and then is that right? Yeah, 2x3, and then you can the way our screens are formatted is more of a what's that aspect ratio? 3x4 that it creates the image in, but our screens are at 2x3, so there's that crop factor, and so yeah, that's true. Mine is
the 5 and the 5S are more like
16x9.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, it's just annoying. That's all.
What else? I don't think that this is a new feature, but I just started using it, so I think it's new. the shared albums or shared streams is basically what it's called. So, when I go into the photos app, which is the camera roll, I have my photo. Along the bottom, there's photos and then a little cloud that's shared and then another icon that is albums. And I didn't really want to use the shared feature when it first became available because I thought it had everything to do with that photo stream, which I hate because every picture you take goes in the photo stream. And if you don't want it there, you got to remember to specifically go there and delete it. And, you know, you never know.
And it just doubles up on your hard drive.
Yep.
Yeah, that too.
That's a cloud feature. Yeah.
The shared streams is actually really cool. Just a few days ago, I was like, you know, I got all these pictures of my son. Oh, geez. Sorry, I'm getting messages.
That's all right.
So I made an album that's just pictures of the baby and shared it with my wife. And the cool thing is now she gets on her phone or her iPad. She opens up, you know, her photos app and she could see that album. And not only can she look at all the pictures I put in it, but she could add pictures also. So, you know, she's home all day, so she's taking pictures of the baby just like you said she would, Mark. and it's cool because when she adds pictures, I get a little notification on my phone so I can go in and I could see what she added. And it's pretty awesome. It's a neat feature. I don't know if it's new. I thought it was something that actually came out in iOS 6.
It was.
Yeah, it's not new. My brother did that with one of his mountain trips.
Yeah, well, it's pretty cool. And then I noticed that it'll automatically make some albums for you. Like, for instance, even though I didn't use the panorama part of the camera app to make panoramas, it recognized the fact that I had some panoramas in my photo stream, and it just made an album that is panoramas on its own.
Yeah, I really dig that.
So that's pretty cool. So, yeah, I mean, those are, you know, the main things, and I haven't noticed any problems with any of the apps that I use on a regular basis. I haven't really had any crashes or anything like that, and just the overall design of iOS, even though the color scheme of the icons is a little funky, I've gotten used to it already, and, you know, I really like the look. I like the kind of the animation when you wake your phone up and the icons kind of
fall onto the
screen. I really like that.
Yeah.
The only thing that, it's not that I don't like it, it just seems like kind of a gimmicky weird thing, is the parallax where your background kind of shifts.
Yeah, so I turned mine off.
Yeah, so did
I. Thank you last week for showing us all how to turn it off. That no one else got to hear.
Yeah. So in case anyone is like, you know, this is really kind of weird, I don't like it, you go into your settings. In settings, you're going to go to general and accessibility. And then when you scroll down, you'll see
reduce motion.
Yeah. One that says reduce motion. And you want to turn that on. And it does something else besides just make your background not shift. I forget what it is, but that is one of the things that it'll do. It'll make the background picture just static like normal.
Yeah. And probably save on battery life.
Yeah, probably.
So it's all good. So overall, what do you guys think of iOS 7? Yay, nay?
I
like it. And I wanted to touch on a couple things with the camera app. I do like the way the camera app is, like what Matt said. The one thing that I noticed that they changed is, do you recall being able to hold the shutter button down and then let go and then it would take the image?
Yes.
Now, instead of doing that, what it does is it will take a series of photos as long as you hold the button down.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I like it or not, but... You know, I guess it's not a burst mode, but it's a, what is it called when you, with our cameras that we usually use, when you hold it down, it just goes click, 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 click.
Yeah,
click.
It's just frames per second.
Yeah. The frames, stuff. it'll just continue doing that. So when you have kids, that's good too, even though we don't have, the burst mode like, Mark does. And there was one other thing, the going from the lock screen, they made it more difficult to open up and get to the native app straight from the lock screen. I noticed that I would swipe it, but then it would just bounce right back. It was doing a bouncing thing. And I don't know if it was, they just need to tweak the sensitivity or what, but it started getting a little annoying. But other than that, I'm okay with it. Still works the same.
Yeah, I've had a few issues with that. What else did I have issues with? I've actually had moments where the thumbprint reader didn't read.
Did you use your thumb?
I did use my thumb, not my nipple. Okay. My thumb. Okay. I have had a few false positives. Not false positives. False. What is it? Just a negative.
Double negatives?
I guess. I forget what you would call it. It was just an error.
I'm just messing with you.
I know. I like totally walked into that one. False positives. False positives is if I had my wife do it on her thumb on her like freaking earlobe or something, and it worked.
Yeah.
Interesting to know that Apple said that you needed to be alive to be able to use it because it reads biosigns as well as your thumbprint. But a bunch of people actually had a high tech 3D printer and was able to create a high res thumbprint and were able to use the unlock the
phone.
Yeah, yeah, what he said. But it worked. So apparently, you don't need to be alive, which is not good news for us.
Yeah, mine doesn't have that problem.
No, but if in case somebody comes at you in a dark alley.
Here, take it. You won't be able to get into it.
And I have no thumbs. Like, you better hide your thumbs at that point. So,
I give iOS 7, you know, thumbs up. Pun intended.
I give it my ring fingers up. Because I won't give it a thumbs up because there's one more thing that kind of annoys the crap out of me, and that's the fact that AirDrop only works for my phone, and I can't share photos onto my wife's.
You can't use it with anybody else because they don't have one.
Exactly. So the fact that it doesn't work on the iPhone 4S is just stupid.
Yeah.
I'm tired of Apple being jerks like that. They're just being jerks.
I'm going to have to try that. I did not realize that.
I don't know if it works for the 5. My guess would be no, because they got rid of all the 5s and replaced them with 5Cs. So,
well, why would it be an option for me then?
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, then you're all right then.
I'm going to have to take a look at my wife's 4S, because I could have swore that it was on there.
You have AirPlay, but not AirDrop.
Oh.
Yeah, if you have an Apple TV, then it's AirPlay. But AirDrop is a totally different can of worms.
Hmm. I will look into that situation.
Yeah, definitely let me know. You know what? I'll play around with my wife's phone if she lets me actually use it. At some point, she's going to need it updated. So, there you go. So, all right. So, that's all for iOS. And this week, we're going to do Post Picker of the Week, maybe?
Yeah.
Post Picker of the Week.
This week, I am going, and it's technically not a pick. Let me give you guys a preview. Let me see. Work.
Riveting.
Yeah. Oh, I had it on mute. All right, one more time. It is. Here's a sound effect.
Oh, I know exactly what it is.
It's really cute.
I am submitting my own video for this week. And I do it because it's a funny story. So anyway, I'm playing around with the iPhone. And my wife is yelling at me because I'm using it during dinner time. So I decided to say, I turned to my daughter, who's 3 years old. And I'm like, do you want to do some camera magic? And she's like, shit, yeah.
Those just words like all exactly. The 3-year-olds say.
She's like, let's do it, dog. she might have not actually said that. But so I used the J.J. Abrams app, Action Movie. And in it, it has some clips from the Star Trek Into Darkness, which was an okay movie. And one of them is the teleporter. You're allowed to teleport into the photo. And the trick behind that is you photograph, you video a blank scene, and then somebody runs into it within 2 seconds, and then you add the special effect in between the running part. So I have my daughter do that, And sure enough, it was the way she was standing was awesome, because when the teleport effect came in and she comes into view, she takes a step back. She like staggers a bit, just as though she was like a little staggered from the teleporting. And it was awesome. It was very cool. And
so wait, you mean to tell me that this is all special effects and acting?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I'm sorry. Teleportation isn't for until the iPhone 6. Spoiler. So we did that, and I put it up on my Apple TV for everybody to see it. And my wife thought it was cool. My son thought it was wild, and he's 1 year old. I guess he like, I mean, pretty lights, whatever. My daughter, though, at first she thought it was all right. Like, she's like, wow, that's awesome. Until an hour later. And I was upstairs doing something photography related. I think I was editing some photos. When she calls, my wife calls me down, and she's like, you gotta talk to her. She's afraid she's going to disappear. I freaked her out.
Oh, poor thing.
I'm like, no, this is just magic. This is camera magic. She's like, but am I gonna disappear? No. Did you disappear when we made it? No. I keep forgetting that 3 years old is very impressionable.
Yes.
Even though she was in on the gag, she what she saw on TV was that she wasn't standing there one moment, and then she appeared. If you can appear, you can disappear. What I should have done instead of dispelling, I'm like, yes, you can disappear, and if you don't pay attention to me.
Poor thing.
You'll be on Kronos with the Klingons. Now here's a picture of a Klingon.
Oh,
that's mean. But no, I spent the next 2 days trying to calm her down that she's not going to disappear. I'm like, wow, 15 minutes and I'm stuck 2 days of trying to undo what I just did. So that's my post pick of the week, is my daughter appearing teleportation style. How we're going to put that in is beyond me. That's your job.
I'm trying.
Make it so, number one. So, anyway, let's go into some focus points.
Focus point.
Oh, by the way, if you want to contribute your own photo for post pick of the week, it is absolutely easy. All you need to do is go onto Instagram and add the hashtag TinyShutter to your photo, and it will be entered into our grand gallery of sheer awesomeness. We have a ton of photographers in there. We're like, what is it, 13, 14,000 strong in there? A lot of great contributors in there. A lot of great photos. And add your photo to the mix and let yourself be noticed. So there you go. So focus points. Who wants to go first?
Not me.
Okay.
You know what? I'll go first. This one will be very easy. It's fall here in New England, and I don't know how it is in everybody else's neck of the woods, but what you want to do is find the best foliage and find it when it's ripe or when it's not ripe, technically. Anyway, Leaf Peeper is a great app made by Yankee Magazine, and they are a map overlay of finding out when your foliage is in its best season. If you go to the map that they have, it'll color coordinate everything from yellow, which is trees are starting to turn, to orange, which is moderate, and red, which is in peak condition. And I don't know. I think this is U.S. only. I don't know if it's worldwide, but there you go. So highly recommend this app. I will be using it quite a bit in the coming months. Then not using it at all by the end of November.
When the leaves are gone?
Yes. The beauty of it is it's perennial, so it's all good. So that's my pick for this week. Who's next?
I am.
There you go.
So I talked to Mark. I hadn't talked to Matt about this, so Matt can chime in. But I decided to start something called the Tiny Shutter Challenge. And this would kind of go in with, you know, post pick of the week and stuff like that. But I was kind of thinking how to get people more involved with our Instagram community and on G+ and Facebook and all that. So I thought, well, why not a weekly challenge where we come up with a theme and by the end of the week, you know, people will, or it doesn't even have to be by the end of the week, but we can hashtag like Tiny Shutter 69, since this is the 69th episode. And this week's challenge would be a portrait, you know, creating a portrait with somebody in it, seeing how you can take your iPhone, or, you know, we'll even accept BlackBerry, no, not BlackBerry, Android and Windows application. No, Windows doesn't do it either. You know, Android shots and just challenging people to see how they can take their phone and create beautiful images. And because a lot of people, you'll notice that most of their feeds are of a certain genre, like landscaping or architecture, or some people are just really good at taking people photos. So this is one way to not only get more people involved, but also to challenge them to step outside of their comfort zone. Like one week it could be automotive, and then also we'd accept people's suggestions on what we can do for that next week.
You know, I have one suggestion to your idea.
Okay.
We don't need a special hashtag, I think. Just using hashtag Tiny Shutter will do it.
Okay.
Because, I mean, if we're going with a specific theme, we're clearly going to see the specific theme.
That's true. That's true.
And let's keep it all in the family. Like, we have a good thing going with the numbers. So
yeah. But, you know, this is a way for people to get involved and also to challenge them to step outside of their comfort zone.
That's perfect. I like it.
That's pretty cool.
So announce it one more time. Let's make it official. Let's get some official music here. No, actually, we need right. This.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead and announce it before the song ends.
The Tiny Shutter Challenge. Actually, let's pause that.
No, keep it going. No. It's too late. I'm spent.
Matt, what do you think the challenge should be for this next week?
Oh, it should definitely be, I don't know.
Dinosaurs, now that it comes to my stars.
My first thought was fall foliage, but that wouldn't be fair because not everybody lives somewhere where there's fall.
Our leaves are starting to turn. You know, the Carolinas get pretty good fall foliage too, but that's going to be in the next few weeks.
You know what?
Go ahead.
Fall foliage.
Okay.
Because even if you live in the desert southwest, there's fall foliage there. And if you don't know where to find it,
use the Leaf Peeper app.
Yeah. Or hit me up. I'll tell you where to go.
There you go.
Come to New England.
Well, you could do that, but I meant if you wanted to stay in the desert southwest.
Well, it becomes trickier, but doable, I guess.
It's funny because the Bay Area, the California, wintertime is when everything turns green.
There you go. I mean, be creative. I mean, when we say fall foliage, you know, just take a spin on that. You know, what does your fall foliage look like? You know, sipping a Mai Tai in front of a picture of a leaf or something like that. You know, there you go. There's your fall foliage.
No, that's perfect.
Cool. So awesome. I'm glad we have that new challenge, and I'll have to create a snazzy new segment stinger for that. I'll make something out of this.
Dylan, you son of a bitch.
Or not.
Not.
Yeah, that might be a little much. Because not everybody's named Dylan. I mean, I got to think of that.
That's right.
That's just inconsiderate. And I'm always slapping Dylan at the end of that. So yeah, you're right. Sorry, Dylan. Cool. So I think that puts us at the end of the episode. Yay.
I want to know if I have a...
Right. I thought you already put one in there. Sorry, my bad. I'll give this to myself.
Dylan, you son of a bitch.
In this particular example, I was Dylan. So go on.
All right. So like I always do, I have an app. I have no idea how to say the name of it, so we're going to call it Jello. It's spelled G-E-L-O with like a little line over the O, like it's French or something.
How do you type that into the App Store?
Just type in G-E-L-O, right? And I think it's called Jello because what this app does, it adds basically color to your photos, kind of like in...
Oh, gels?
Yeah, kind of like color gels.
I get it.
Yeah, so I don't know how I came across this app, but I came across it recently, and I thought it sounded pretty cool. So I downloaded it, and it's a lot of fun to play with. So basically, you load a photo into it, or it has a camera built in so you could take a picture from within the app. But you load a photo in and you end up with a, kind of like a wheel that you could rotate of basically different color gels, and it spans the whole entire rainbow. Right.
Nice.
And, so at first I thought, well, this is kind of lame because it, you know, if you pick red, your whole picture turns red. You know, so it just looked weird. And I'm like, well, I don't really see any practical use for this. And then I started tapping on, you know, buttons to see what they did. And I was like, oh, now we're getting somewhere. You could basically tint your photos to whatever color you want. Or you could add the gel as an overlay. And you could adjust the opacity, which is cool. It took me a little while to find that function. You could add it as a gradient, and you can move the gradient around, which is pretty cool. And you could even change the overlays into geometric shapes, like a circle or a square or a triangle. You could change the size and, you know, the opacity and the color. So if you're making some sort of abstract or funky, you know, kind of art piece, this might be something cool to play with. Nice. Yeah, so it's just something kind of different. I particularly like the overlays and using it as a gradient. Especially if you have like a lot of sky in a picture, you could really spruce up a sky and you know, make, if it's a kind of a drab sky, you could really make it look pretty cool. So I don't know. It's definitely a neat app. I'd recommend it.
Very cool area. I just bought it.
99
It's 99 cents right now.
Awesome.
It's going to take some getting the hang of. Says they have an up. Yeah. It took me like, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes to understand how it worked. So basically, most of the buttons in it have multiple functions. So if you keep tapping the same button, it'll kind of cycle through different functions.
Yeah.
And there is a update coming soon, which is pretty cool. It'll allow you to add multiple overlays to the same photo, which is something you can't do at the moment, but that'll be pretty cool. Nice. And you'll be able to overlay images, which... That sounds neat. Sounds to me kind of like a double exposure kind of thing. And overlaying text is also going to be a new feature.
That sounds interesting.
Definitely.
And see, for the people that don't have foliage, you can make your foliage.
Exactly.
Boom. Right there. Very cool. All right. Now, that being said, I think it's now time for the end of the show, if I'm not missing anything. If anybody wants to contribute, again, if you want to contribute photos, you can do it through Instagram by using the hashtag TinyShutter. And that hashtag will also work in Twitter if you share photos there, which I've barely had anybody do. But yeah, it's there. We'll see it. We also have our Google Plus group. If you go to the community section and do a search for Tiny Shutter, we are there. And that is an awesome community. And a lot of great photos are contributed there. And then there's Facebook, facebook.com/TinyShutter. And Joe, tell the world where they could find you on the web.
You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira.
Sweet. How about you, Matt?
I can be fine. I can be fined.
You can be fined.
I can be found on Instagram and Twitter at mhoffmanphoto.
And you can find me, Mark Sadowski. I am username lenswipe on Instagram. And you can also find all my social connections through my website, casualphotography.net. And yeah, there you go. There's a lot more about me in there. So that is all for this week. Tune in next week where we will have another complete episode. And I pray that the Skype gods, i.e. Microsoft, sans Ballmer, will allow me to finish the show. You know, I really want something else other than Skype. We might try a FaceTime thing maybe next time.
Cool.
I think it's worth a shot because Skype is just absolutely atrocious. So, anyway, that's just me griping again. Tune in next week and I'll gripe some more. Anyway, that's all for this week. Take care.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.